The last time we were seeing headlines about the worst refugee crisis in Europe since World War II, it was the exodus from the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. Millions of people were scattered across the world, among them a Bosnian Croat family who came to the U.S. as refugees in 1999. The World's Jeb Sharp has their story from Lynn, Massachusetts.
I go see the Stepanoviches right after Christmas. It's a big holiday for them. They have a feast with other Croatian friends, roasting a whole pig on a spit in someone's backyard.
People think that's weird. They're all like, oh, you're weird. You're taking a whole pig. But we see that normal.
This is Anto, the 18-year-old.
It's a tradition. We spin it like on the fire for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And it's like you get to talk. You like...
You talk, you tell stories.
That's Anto's brother, Marco.
You, like, make fun of each other.
Have
like,
a drink or two.
And that's Anna, their mother.
You know, why
drink
not?
Two,
I mean,
three,
just...
four.
Anna and her husband, Zvonko, grew up in the former Yugoslavia. They are ethnic Croatians from a town called Kotor Varoš in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Before Yugoslavia disintegrated, Croats, Serbs, and Muslims lived side by side there. But when the Bosnian War broke out in 1992, Serb forces drove the Croats and Muslims out.
They push us out. You must go or they kill
yes.
you.
Yes.
They said, you must go out. This is our country. This is our land.
And they made us also...
Many...
Sorry, pay for it. We had to buy the ticket. They're kicking us out, but you have to pay, and they take your passport, they take everything that you cannot tell who you are.
They ended up in Germany as refugees. When the war ended, they didn't feel they could go back because their hometown was no longer a hospitable place for Croats. So they applied for and won asylum in the United States. They landed in Tucson in August 1999. Entry was a little rough.
It's no good experience.
We didn't have great experience. Okay, go ahead.
We had a problem with flight, and we switched flight, and they didn't come.
By the time they reached Tucson, it was after midnight. They had a long wait at the airport before they were picked up. It was about 3 a.m. when they arrived at their apartment, tired and disoriented, with two toddlers in tow. There was nothing in the fridge, not even a carton of milk. So Zvonko asked the woman from the resettlement agency whether they could drink the water from the faucet.
She said no, and she left the apartment. I don't like to say that, that's happened.
Luckily, one of their neighbors in the building was a Croatian refugee, too. In the morning, she took them to buy food and get settled. But Anna remembers how awful it felt.
You know, the first time you come, you don't know anything, not even electric. You know, how you turn on, it's different, you know. It's a different country, different everything, continent. You're having little kids and you don't have a milk, you just fly, you wait for so long, you're really frustrated. But you cope with it.
They had been coping for years by then, and they would continue to do so. They see themselves in the Middle Eastern refugees they see on TV today. Even part of their trek across Europe was the same.
You're looking for peace. You're looking. Everybody was looking to make sure they have peace and quiet when they go there. So at the destination, so everybody want to make sure you're alive and, you know, you can continue alive.
Before a year was up, they moved from Tucson to Boston. They had friends there and a dream.
In Europe, Boston is really famous, popular. Everybody knows for Boston. Good schools, good life, you know.
Zvonko and Anna landed housekeeping jobs in a hotel downtown. 15 years later, they've adapted to life in the U.S. He still works at the hotel. She went back to school and now works as a case manager in the career center at a local community college. Anto is finishing up high school and plans to study business and math. And Marco just started at Boston University this month after a year and a half at the community college. He's set on neuroscience and medical school. He would have gone to a four-year college sooner if it weren't for an immigration snafu. Somehow his citizenship never got linked to his social security number, so he couldn't get financial aid. It was just one of the many little bureaucratic barriers they've faced here.
That's the problem. People don't know where to go, what to do. What's my first step? What do I do?
Anna says she wants to help other people so they don't get tripped up the way Marco did. They've already fixed Anto's papers so it doesn't happen to him.
We did it right away, right after, so I don't have to go through the same problems that he had to go through. Yeah.
By any measure, the family has done well, though. You can feel it hanging out with them around the tree 3 days after Christmas.
We do have everything. We have our boys, we have each other.
They also have a longing for home that will probably never go away, which is why they roast a pig with Croatian friends at the holidays. For The World, Jeb Sharp, Lynn, Massachusetts.